Drupal Voices is short daily podcast interviews with people doing work in the Drupal community. Brought to you by Lullabot Consulting. Whether you need technical architecture, developer support, optimization and analysis, on-site training, or just general guidance for your Drupal project, Lullabot has led many of the largest Drupal projects in the world. Visit lullabot.com or call 877-LULLABOT to find out how we can help you with your next project.
My name is Nathaniel Catchpole. I'm Catch on Drupal.org. Got involved in Drupal. I was running a left-wing politics site in about 2005. We needed like a new section. At that point, I was installing random CMS for each new section. Drupal got chosen. And then about a year later, the PHPB install got hacked. And what was left was Drupal, so we stored it from a backup and migrated everything to Drupal, and then I got stuck with it for a long time. And about a year after that, started running into issues with like the forum, core forum module, and found out that they couldn't be fixed without fixing core bugs. And that got me into the core issue queue, and then I got a bit addicted after that.
And so you kind of started into Drupal core development with patch reviewing, is that right? That was sort of your...
I didn't really know any PHP, I knew a bit of HTML and CSS, and I used to like copy and paste PHP. So, but most of what I wanted fixed, there was some kind of patch somewhere that was attempting to fix it, but it just hadn't been committed for whatever reason. So I would just look at loads and either try and re-roll them or review them or something to push them on a little bit further. And in the process of doing that, I picked up PHP along the way.
So you learn PHP by reviewing patches of Drupal core, in other words?
Yeah, pretty much 100% from reviewing Drupal core patches, yeah. Yeah, I got like one book 1 year and had a quick look through, but yeah, pretty much that's how I've learned, yeah.
And so maybe talk about like what was your strategy for Drupal 7 being having, you know, since you got the most patches, you know, by number into Drupal 7?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of those patches are pretty small. I didn't really do very much, but the way it gets counted is commit messages, so I wouldn't vouch for the quality of the patches. I think there was a lot of things that had annoyed me with Drupal 6, like especially the taxonomy module. So fairly early on in the cycle, I tried to clean up taxonomy module a fair bit, like so it actually had an API, because Drupal 6 has like hooked taxonomy that only gets fired on like a couple of ops and not even in the right places, and so fixed that up, and then realized from there other issues as well. And there's a lot of performance issues that had been submitted to Drupal 6 but never got in, that had been nagging that they hadn't got in, because I kind of Drupal 6 pretty much only reviewed patches. I wrote a few patches but not very many, but by the time Drupal 7 came around, I'd kind of picked a bit more up, so I hammered on loads and managed to get loads in, and then just kept going with it. And I really got into profiling about a year and a half ago, and then found loads of crap from that. And if you look with a profiler at Drupal core, then there's an endless amount of work to do that you will find. So
yeah, it sounds like you've kind of found a niche of making, you know, Drupal more performant. So maybe you could talk about like what are you looking at when you're running this profiler?
I mean, if you haven't already looked and optimized the page, then usually there's a few things that stick out like quite far. Like especially looked at the installer the other day, and there was just like all kinds of random stuff that we were doing that there's absolutely no need to do. So you can pick up like there's a few functions that are always going to be called that you always need to run, but you look at like the top 10 wall time functions or the top 10 functions that take time within themselves, and if there's something in there that just looks out of place, then you look why it's been called so many times, or you look at it to see what it's doing. And it doesn't take long. Like once you see the reports, if you haven't done profiling before, if you figure out XHProf or Xdebug and see what's going on in the page flow, then it will make sense to you pretty quickly. Like it's quite easy once you've figured it out.
And so maybe you could give a few examples of like some really expensive function calls in Drupal that you were trying to optimize in some way in Drupal 7.
Yeah, there was one time I just hit the admin page, like /admin with Xdebug, and we were calling, I think, preg match 40,000 times every time we hit admin, and we still do that in Drupal 6. So like 30% of the page execution time for admin in Drupal 6 is finding out if you have any updates for any of your modules. Because what it does is it gets every single defined function in all of PHP and all user space functions, and then loops through them to see if they have the string update in them, and then checks if they've got a number in them, and it does that every time you hit that page. So things like that stick out, but if you don't look in a profiler, you would never imagine that it was going to be taking that long.
And there seems to also be something new with loading multiple nodes at the same time on page listings. Is that true? Or?
Yeah, we've got multiple loading, and we also got pluggable entity loading in now, so you can cache all of your nodes in Memcache, and then in one Memcache get the whole list of nodes, and you never have to touch SQL anymore.
And what are some other things that really stand out in this Drupal 7, development cycle that you have either been involved with or really excited about?
So I wasn't very keen on it when it went in, but pluggable field storage, like the Drupal 7 field API, allows you to write your own module that stores fields however you want. So you could store them in SQL differently. Like you could do like a Drupal 6 CCK field storage module that has it like that. And then Chix wrote a MongoDB storage engine. And what that one does is it takes the whole node with all the fields and the core properties and puts them in a MongoDB document. And that means when you want to do a query, instead of having to join a different tables, sort on different tables, you can just grab the whole record. You can query on like a single record in a single MongoDB document, and on all of the different node properties, sort on any of those properties, it's indexed, and you can just put it straight out. And no joins involved, you don't have to maintain any kind of denormalized tables, it's just the field storage does it for you. So we've been working with that for the past couple of months on examiner.com, and that's just been lovely to work with. But you still have your nodes in SQL in the main core table, because core just puts it there. But you kind of put it in there and forget about it, and for reads at least. So that's been really nice. And that was kind of, it does make things a bit harder if you're using SQL, but I think probably most Drupal 7 high performance sites will start using Mongo, and then Drupal 8 will be made much easier when that comes around.
And so since you are, how do you find time to work on Drupal 7 mixing with, your paid client work, and also is it happening in your free time? And just talk about that balance that you have to strike.
Right at the beginning of the Drupal 7 release cycle, I had my day job at university. I didn't actually have to do very much work, so I had spent a lot of time on Drupal when I didn't have anything else to do, so which got me into some really bad habits which I haven't really got out of since I've been doing Drupal full time and I don't have time anymore. But when I've been working freelance, usually I was okay doing like 20, 30 hours a week, so I would do extra time on top, just off my own bat on core. And now working for like Xamarin Now Public, because we're doing Drupal 7, I tend to be able to work on core patches and get paid for it. Like not every single core patch is like still a relatively small percentage, but it's nice to be able to do that, and that's like my day job now, which is good, at least for things which are like biting us, which is quite a few still in Drupal 7, but it's getting there,
And so, yeah, it's pretty interesting that examiner.com is transitioning onto Drupal 7, whereas if for most projects, if you're recommending to people, you'd say, you might wait until, say, the summer or fall of 2010, but maybe talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, examiner specifically, because it has to serve like a couple of million pages a day, I think. I don't know exact traffic numbers, if I don't even know how to talk about them, but you have to, like in terms of scaling, the new field storage and some of the other performance improvements we've got into Drupal 7 means we've got core patches that are things, the bug fixes that aren't committed yet, or we're not quite synced with head every week, so sometimes we commit a patch before we re-sync with head, but we're not hacking core to like remove bad queries and stuff like that, because we got a lot of work done in Drupal 7, so it's a lot easier to deal with like a few modules missing, especially with a large development team, than it is to deal with trying to scale Drupal 6 when we've done so much work on Drupal 7 to make it easier to scale. I know that a couple of other companies are doing Drupal 7 sites at the moment, but I also know that there are people who have core patch authors working on those sites. So I wouldn't recommend it if you haven't been working with Drupal 7 for fun to start using it for work, because you'd get a headache. But I would say it's pretty stable. If you do know the new APIs and stuff, you can do it.
Right.
But upgrades, I can't see another 6 to 9 months it being usable. And new sites, if you just want to start with Drupal, give it another 6 months as well, probably.
Yeah, that's what it seems that, you know, it may be misleading for some people who don't have a number of people already highly integrated into the core process to start diving into Drupal 7 already, but it sounds
try
like...
Try it out, but don't do anything that wouldn't throw away, because, yeah, no, it's not a good idea.
So what do you see as next is from this point to until, you know, Drupal 7 launches? What type of stuff are you going to be specifically looking at?
Mainly trying to get the critical bug queue down quite a lot, because there's still over 100. There's a lot of small bugs, but even the critical issues that are in Drupal 6 were things like you can't save a node. And with test coverage, we don't really have those kind of like huge crazy bugs that haven't been found yet, like most bugs we know about and have been patched and fixed. So what's left are generally obscure edge cases that are really nasty, but you're not going to run into them very often at all. So it's kind of a different thing. Like a lot of the critical bugs that are in Drupal 7 might have been in the past 4 releases or something, and we've like lots of sites have been running perfectly fine, but we need to get rid of them before we can release one way or the other.
So, I mean, I guess that's the other interesting thing is being a company, you know, working on Drupal 7 and having your own deadlines, presumably, and Drupal 7 is sort of an evolving thing. You foresee the chance that you may have to launch before an official version of Drupal 7 comes out?
We will definitely be launching before an official version of Drupal 7 comes out. I'm hoping that maybe we might get to, like, beta before the launch, but even that was looking okay like 2 months ago. Now I'm not so sure it will happen. But there's only a few API changes that are definitely going to go in. And they're not like break your whole site API changes. So you just have to adjust a few things. And there's a few schema changes, but they're quite minor ones. So it's, again, if you're able to dedicate time to following every core issue to see if it's going to break code, then you're okay. If you haven't got that time, then you can't do it. But as long as you do, then it's fine. Because with the test coverage, if something does break, you find out really, really, really fast.
I see. So part of the unit tests that are in there are actually helping kind of companies launch before an official version of 777's even out, if you have the time and resources to dedicate.
I don't think anyone could even consider having done it with like even a Drupal 6 release candidate. I remember some huge patches went into Drupal 6 release candidates and broke things and got cleaned up, and Drupal 7 is a lot more stable than those were. So most of what's left is like very obscure edge cases. So yeah, the test coverage has made a huge difference.
Okay. Well, thanks.
Cheers, Kate.